Thank you all for being here today. How many of you are glad? Several of you in this room, this is your testimony. How many of you all have been buried to what you used to be, and you're being risen to what you can be in Christ? I want you to think about that for a minute. So I want us to get down today. Guess what? We're about to wrap this year up. Man, it goes fast, doesn't it? Zip. So all you university students that are in here, finals are coming shortly. But before we get there, we got to be a great witness that God's mercy is real. And I want you to know, we got a world wanting to know if Jesus works. How many of y'all know, we got a lot of folks want to know if Jesus works. Does he really work? And Paul's right in the midst of a crazy culture. How many of y'all would give it this much? Our culture's a little crazy right now. If you kind of look at the culture of the United States of America, would you say it honors God or dishonors God? Yeah, it dishonors God. Good, thank you for being honest. It does dishonor God. We're trying to make the wrong things right. We're trying to say you can do whatever you want and everything's going to be all right. How many of y'all have tried that one before? Well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. How many times? Come on, talk to me a minute. How many times did that work out? No, doesn't real well, does it? But I want to tell you, it's tough because guess what? From the time you were born, how many of y'all been born so far? You've been born. You know you're here. If you're here, you were born, okay? From the time you were born, guess what happened? Everybody told you, it's about 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 you. How many of y'all have heard it's about what? It's about you. And here's what's going to be amazing, because when you come to Christ, guess what Jesus does? He forgives us of all of our sin, and he raises us up, and then he tells us something that we may not want to hear right off the bat. He says, guess what? It's not about you anymore. We go, what? Chris Allen, we go, what? Lord, it's got to be about me because you made me and you loved me and you told me I was special. How many of y'all just love? I mean, you think, hey, man, it's about you. I promise you, we all do. Here in just a few moments, when in life, we're going to be standing in lines at the department store, and there'll be 10 to 100 people standing in line, and every one of them in line think it's about what? When you stand in line, whose schedule are you concerned about? Mine. I'm in a hurry. I can't believe you're in my way. Does that make sense? Before they put the new road in over here, and we had to go down Scottsville Road, somebody asked me, they go, how come you hadn't said anything about Scottsville Road in a long time? I said, new road. Saved my life. It's of God. It's totally changed everything in my existence. And you know what? I would get behind a bunch of slow cars that didn't know how to turn and weave, right? And I'd get mad because they were slowing down my schedule, you see. And sometimes I think it's about me. They didn't build Scottsville Road for me. They built it for what? Everybody. And y'all know Walmart. I'm not picking on Walmart, but they're the only place that's got 100 checkout lines and opens two of them. Just so you can be mad. Just so you can be mad. You know, these are real things. Now, I want to show you what Paul's talking about today. He says, listen, we live an everyday life, and we need to live in such a way that people would really know Jesus. Does that make sense? And I'm going to tell you something, and if some of you get mad, I apologize in advance, but God did not call us to be little religious people. God didn't make us for that. Now, let's look at what the scripture says. In fact, the world, honestly, is tired of hearing little religious people. I got this wrong. It's not Barney Fife, but y'all remember. Anybody remember watching Andy Griffith? Remember Gomer? How many of y'all remember Gomer? Citizens arrest. You know what? We got people out there in the kingdom of God, man. They think it's about them. And they just wait for people to mess up. And they always want to point their finger and say, well, I've done this, but you've done this, and you're really bad. And I just want you to know, if you live that way, man, in the name of Jesus, you can be forgiven today. And you no longer have to be a religious little, you know, citizen's arrest person. But you can actually embrace the joy of the what? The Lord. You can actually embrace what God is doing in your life. You can actually say, you know what, Lord Jesus? I want you to come in my life. I want you to do what? Wonderful and marvelous things. I want you to be everything you've made me to be. I want you to do what? I want you to love God. So Paul tells us this. Live your life. All things are lawful. Following Jesus Christ is not a list of rules and regulations. Although in the last 7 weeks of sermons, we've heard some very clear things that Paul says, don't get your life in this. Those aren't rules. Those are absolute boundaries because there's no life in those places. Does that make sense? When God says no, he only says no for one reason. There's no life in those places. There's no life in those kind of practices. And God wants you to live. If you don't mind, if you look at your neighbor and just say, he wants you to live. Let's bear testimony to that. God wants you to live. It's about living well. Now let's look. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Paul said, as a Christian, yeah, there's a lot of things you can do, but ask yourself a question. Is that helpful? Is that helpful? Is that beneficial? All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Let's start there. First point today, how many of y'all realize that somebody around you is more important than you are? It's for the good of your neighbor. What if you started living for the good of your neighbor? How many of y'all, I wish I'd discovered this in marriage long before I did. You know, if I care more about what Elizabeth thinks, our marriage is better. Shazam. When I first got married, guess what I wanted? What I wanted. I want this, I want that, it needs to be like that. Were any of y'all young husbands like that? You all may not believe this, but I was a little bit demanding. And I thought it was about me, and it wasn't about me. It's about my neighbor. It's about my wife. And guess what? And she, the more she's about me, the more we're together. The more I'm about her, the more she's about me, the more we finally find together. How many of y'all have learned that to be true along the journey? But when you demand your own way, how many of y'all notice, man, things get... When you demand your stuff, how many of y'all find you become more of an irritation than you do a blessing? Y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of y'all going to have some family over? Are you going to go be family somewhere over Thanksgiving? You're going to see some of your family. How many of y'all have some irritating people in your family? Raise your hand if you have irritating people in your family. Okay. How many of y'all are the irritant in your family? So you got to be self-aware too, okay? I mean, holidays are tough because we get together on holidays. There's always conflict in holidays because everybody always wants what? Their way, what they want. I got some brothers and sisters, and none of my brothers and sisters are as smart as I am, so I have to, you know, try to adjust for, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, they got a schedule, I got a schedule, we got a schedule, mom and dad's got a schedule. We try to get all those schedules together, and we all want what we want. Sheriff, you arrest most people because they did what they thought and not what they ought to. True. They get arrested because they did what they thought. Oh, I thought I could smoke two joints and drive. Well, you thought wrong. So we're taking you to a thinking tank so you can think better. True. Yeah, we do this kind of stuff. But guess what Paul said? For those that believe, it's different. How many of y'all glad to know you've been forgiven? Grace and mercy is in your life. Your sins are forgiven. Now we live better. And so, church, here's what I'm trying. Listen, as Thanksgiving comes, we ought to be the people that are blessing the family, those of us who are in Christ. And you all got that aunt. How many of y'all got that aunt? Let's just call her Aunt Judy. And if your name is Judy, I'm not talking about you. But the Aunt Judy prototype comes into the house, and all she's doing is checking for what's wrong. Y'all ever seen that? The tablecloth's not right. The turkey leg didn't lean the right way. The gravy's not where it's supposed to be. So-and-so's not sitting where they're supposed to sit. Y'all got one of those? Yeah. Most of them are single. And they're wondering why nobody will date them. Gee, I don't know. But Paul said, listen, as you make decisions in life, first of all, I love this word. Is it helpful and does it bless others? Does it build others up? Do you see the inertia in Scripture here? That those that follow Christ are build up people, not put down people. And I want us to think about something here for a minute. If you have a nature to put things down, I'm going to ask God to really show you how to raise things up. I mean, that makes sense. What if the people of Christ were the build-up people? You know what the world sees us as today? It's so sorry. Man, I just hate it. But you know what? And I wish I could tell you we hadn't brought some of this on ourselves. Here's the only thing the world thinks about Christians. They think we're a bunch of homophobic bigots. That's shameful. We're people of grace. We're seasoned and salted with grace. We ought to be graceful people. We ought to tell people the good news, the good news. How many of y'all got some good news? I've been forgiven. Any of y'all got that good news? Well, that's, watch this. That's first stage good news. There's second stage good news. And you can be forgiven too. And what kind of relationship does that put with your neighbor? So I want you to say, evaluate the others that are around you. Just heads up for the holidays. Y'all got people coming to the house? Bless them. You go into somebody's house, be a blessing. Does that make sense? That's a good attitude for holiday. You invited to the Christmas party as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to not be the prude in the group. But we need to quit being prudes. How many of y'all have seen Christians are prudish? Always looking for what's wrong instead of pronouncing who's right. Notice how I said that. Not what's right, who's right. Jesus. So I'm just telling you right now, if you want to live your life by a list of rules and regulations, you can do so, but it's not beneficial. What cracks me up is we got this youthful generation who's really got a true theology that God is sovereign, and then they have a bunch of rules and regulations to go with the sovereign God. Well, but let me help you. If he's sovereign enough to work it out without your rules and regulations. Be very careful who you listen to. Be very careful. And I'll just tell you heads up. Be very cautious about any religious leader that has a list of rules and regulations that you can't measure up to. Because here's what Jesus Christ says. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only way to connect to the glory of God is receive who? Jesus. Now who's in the lead? Jesus. Y'all know the type. How many of y'all been around? These Christians, can't listen to rock and roll, can't wear your shorts, can't wear makeup, can't have this, can't have that. Listen, these people are dinosaurs. The only people that listens to these people are the people that are like them. And that's not the message of Christ. This is why it breaks my heart. God's told us to go present him, his glory to the world. Paul gets it. And he says, and as you live, live in such a way that you make beneficial and helpful decisions. You know what I mean? He goes on, he says, now, eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising question on the grounds of conscience. You know what he's saying? Go buy your hamburger. Go get your steak. Quit asking what God it was sacrificed to. Back then, this would be an open-air type market they had back then. And you would have the butcher, okay, Don. Well, some of the meat was sacrificed to idols. True or false? He said, as a Christian, quit walking around doing a Gomer pile and going, now, if this was a steak sacrificed to Zeus, I can't eat it. Just make it a steak. You ought to be asking how thick a cut you want and not which God it was sacrificed to. Because guess what? For you as a believer, it's just meat. How many of y'all make issues where there are no issues? Hold on. You know why people make issues? Anybody know? Somebody tell me why people make issues. Take a guess. To get attention. People make issues to get attention. Even believers make issues to get attention. You know what I'm talking about, Sheriff? If this was me and you, and I said, Sheriff, we're going to have a little barbecue. We don't need to be going through the meat market going, those steaks, are those Zeus steaks, Jupiter steaks, Apollo steaks? Guess what we need to view them as? Steaks. We need to look at thick steaks, thin steaks, big steaks, prime rib steaks, filet mignon steaks. They are there to eat, not to be a religious judgment. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, you say, well, this doesn't apply today. Oh, yeah, it does. I cannot begin to tell you the reams of paper and technology, digital footage that has been wasted because you know what? I hang out with folks that a lot of church folks don't hang out with. But I don't approach people as sinner. Do I have some friends that make some bad decisions? Absolutely. Any of y'all got some friends that make bad decisions? How many of y'all have ever made a bad decision? How many of y'all have ever not done what you were supposed to do? How many of y'all have ever, coach, you ever not said the right thing back in your coaching days? Yeah, me too. I can't say that I've always been a glorified witness on the sideline, especially when they don't tackle right. Sometimes I express myself, well, pretty expressively. And I'd say, oh, that's not, but it's not what? Beneficial. But people get all upset because they have rules and regulations they want to put on you, and they would rather talk about their rules than the heart of God. It's where we miss God. We've done it today. We've done it today. I don't know about y'all, but I am sick and tired of labels. How many of y'all are sick and tired of labels? You know what? Republicans can't talk to Democrats, and Democrats can't talk to Republicans on the sole basis that they're Republicans and Democrats. Folks, this doesn't work. You have to listen to people. Quit listening to people's labels. I'm tired of old and young and Generation X and baby boomers and all these labels we put on, you know, conservative, liberal, moderate. Why can't we just be people that need to listen to each other? I wonder what that would do. Paul says it'll work. I don't look at people and go, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican, because I don't care. You know what I know? Democrats and Republicans both make bad decisions. And they both make some good decisions. But none of them make good decisions all the time. It's only one place that does that. Who? Jesus. I hadn't seen anybody that's like Jesus, have you? I've never seen anybody do it like Jesus. You know why? Because guess what? Because guess what? There's only one. I'd say listen to the labels. Be careful of living your life by labels. That's what he's talking about here. Don't go to the meat market. It's meat. Guess what he said do? Eat it. Eat it. And he goes on and he says, you know what? Whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any questions on the grounds of conscience. Be what? Be a example of Christ in the midst of culture. Be an example. That the power of God is stronger than any label of the world. Look what he said. Verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. How many of y'all glad to know God's got a full thing going on? Fullness what? Thereof. What does that mean? God's got it all. Here's what's pretty cool. And God wants you to celebrate it all. So just think for a minute. How many of you all as followers of Christ need to become more celebrative and less judgmental? Yeah. It's easy to be judgmental. You know why people like to be judgmental. It's easy. It takes God's power to be positive. It takes the devil's spirit to be negative. It's easy to find what's wrong. It takes Jesus Christ to make it right. Do you see the difference in those dialogues? For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you're disposed to go, you want to go, then guess what? Eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. Oh, I remember this happening to Pastor Shane and I. We were in Costa Rica. You know what? I've always been taught, wherever you are, eat what's in front of you. How many of y'all were taught that? Back in my day, I know for some of you kids, you're going, what? You know, I know it's Select-A-Meal now for kids. Some of you mothers have four different meals for your special little children. I'd give them whatever you want to cook, and if they don't want to eat it, let them starve. They'll eat it eventually. But hold on, guess what we're doing when we teach kids that? You're so special, I'm going to adjust everything in my world to bless your uniqueness. That's why we think like we do today. I grew up like this. You ate what was in front of you. Without question. And you ate your vegetables if you wanted to cook it. And if you didn't eat your vegetables, you didn't taste cooking. So no matter how bad that spinach was, you ate it. Well, we're in Costa Rica. And all day long in Costa Rica, the pastor there, God rest his soul, Pastor Robinson's talking about, we're going to this house and this family's going to bless us. and they've prepared some kind of uka-uka root that is a native Costa Rican dish, and it's got vegetables and potatoes, but it's a root. It's a boiled root. It is a boiled root. Now, I don't know about you all, but Adam, I've never gotten jacked up that, hey, we're going to go eat maple tree roots today, okay? That's not something that inspires me on the menu, but, man, it's Costa Rica. They're excited about it. We're going to get to have, you know, a meal that they have on a weekly basis. And so Shane's going with me, and Pastor Shane, he eats meat, potatoes, and that's it. That's as exotic as he gets. He might put butter on his potatoes. That's as exotic as he gets. So Shane is in a dilemma. Well, I cut into my root in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it glory. I take a bite of this root, and guess what it tastes like? Dirt. It tastes like dirt. Sheriff, it tastes like dirt. Red clay. I'm eating red clay. Warren County red. So I eat this root. Man, I'm sweating in the name of Jesus, talking to all these people eating this root. I couldn't find any salt because it gets so, the humidity, so the salt doesn't come out real good. You know, I'm a Kentucky boy. Fried, now I guarantee you, fried uka root would be good. Whatever you fry is good. I could eat fried bugs. You know what I mean? If you put the right batter on it, you can eat it. It's not fried. Well, I keep eating this fruit and eating this fruit and eating this fruit and eating this fruit. And we're having conversation. And I keep looking down on my plate and it just keeps coming back. And I'm like, my God, this fruit, you cut it off. It grows back before you can get the next bite. Well, I have a tendency to talk during the meal. And guess what Pastor Shane's doing? He's taking his root and sliding it on my plate. I want y'all to know I was so full of root, I was sprouting branches by the time I got done with that meal. And we got back in the van. I said, Shane, I tell you what, I didn't think I was ever going to get that root down. He said, well, you mean? I said, I'd cut it and it'd grow back. He started grinning. He said, well, I couldn't eat it, so I just slid it on your plate along the way. He said, you had two helpings of root plus the one that they gave you extra because you liked it so much. Son, that night I had nightmares. I broke out in a sweat. I said, if I get sick, Shane, when I heal up, I'm whipping you after I get done with it. I said, you should have eaten your own root to the glory of God. Now, guess what? Let me ask you a question. Would this have been a very Jesus-like as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to these beautiful people in Costa Rica who had prepared this root? What if I'd have gone, I can't eat that. I won't eat that. How dare you make me eat a root? Yeah, it sounds pretty ugly, doesn't it? You know what I said to the glory of God? Well, it sounds just this ugly when you sit down at the table and somebody's invited you over to their home to eat and you go, is this Christian meat or is this pagan meat? Because I can't touch anything that's not Christian. It's kind of like this. You're going down a road. I've been with these holy people, and I listen to a little country music. In fact, I listen to a lot of country music. I like country music because country music sings about life. I've had some holy pastors with me. Pastor, could you turn that off? I can't hear secular music. I'm like, what are you, deaf? You got bad ears? But see, in their minds, they're being really holy. And I just want you to know, for the rest of the 7.2 billion people that walk on the face of the earth, that's not witness. You're being arrogantly obnoxious. And I want you to know that I don't get that on my authority. It's from the authority of the Word. Eat. Without telling everybody how holy you are. By the way, this is just something I've learned. All those people that got to tell everybody how holy they are, it's because they're hiding some real big mistakes. That's just been my finding. I found that people that are holy don't have to tell everybody they're holy. They just eat the steak that's in front of them to the glory of God, and the presence of God comes out of them. Does that make sense? And then he said, remember where you are. So guess what? Thanksgiving, how many of y'all got some holy people in your family? They're going to come in. Well, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe that they would do that. Can't believe they let their kids go to that movie. That's not the way we get holy. Here's the way you become holy. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, make me new. And then you'll know how to decide things well. Look what he said. Now, if you know where it comes from, stand in Christ. But if someone says to you, now if they bring you the meat before you and says this, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you. Now, if they bring you the same steak and go, this is a Zeus steak sacrificed to Zeus, the god of all. Though I can't eat that because I'm not going to honor Zeus, the god of all, because now it's no longer a piece of meat, but it's become an idol. And I have to put the brakes on. Does that make sense? Because I'm not going to let the world determine what I believe. I'm going to believe the Bible. I don't care how America votes. I don't care how it makes people feel. I don't care because guess what? We don't get to change God's truth. Congress can pass it. We can approve it. We can act like the things of the Bible are no longer current and wonderful. And guess what? We can vote and establish laws that are against the Bible, but the laws of God's truth are still going to march on. And we've already done that in several major things. And guess what? God's truth's going to march on. Here's what I want you to know. Even if we approve of it, the consequences of sin is death. So you're not going to stand before God and go, well, Lord, you know, it was legal for us. How many of y'all understand there's stuff out there that's legal that's not good? That's not good for you. It's not the best decision. It doesn't raise you up. It doesn't bless you. Paul says, now be careful, because here's what he says. Then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? That makes sense? So it's not what they say, it's what God has said. Live in freedom. I live in freedom. This really ticks religious people off. They will forget I was having a meal, and I'm going to show you especially the meal is a great place. Why do we have, how many of y'all like to eat together? Anybody like to eat together? There's a lot about eating in the Bible, so don't feel guilty about that. By the way, if you have families, one of the things I want to lovingly encourage you to, please try to have some meals together. And I know that's tough because we're running to this practice, to that practice, this dance rehearsal. You know, we grab a pack of nabs in between, or we get a happy meal. It's really not that happy. And we do all this jazz. But every once in a while, we need to sit down together and have a what? Meal. I think it's what makes the holiday special. When you just sit down and we're going to have a meal together. That's not a time to fight, but it's a time to bless. And Paul says, as you eat together, be careful and be a blessing. I never will. He said, be careful what you eat. Here's an example of this. For if I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced? Because of that for which I give thanks. Boy, I tell you what, I got in trouble a few years back. I get in trouble all the time. Do y'all realize I hang out with people that normal preachers don't hang out with? Have y'all ever noticed that? Well, this doesn't cause me in trouble with my friends. I have some great friends, and I have some friends yet that are to receive Christ. I'm still their friend. I'm not their Savior, but I'm their friend. And I was at a meal, and lo and behold, there were some people that had a glass of wine at this meal. Do y'all know people drink wine? Sometimes with a fine meal, they drink a glass of wine. Well, here in town, I remember when that became a big deal in Bowling Green. I've grown up in Bowling Green. Y'all remember when they started serving alcohol in Bowling Green? Alcohol is what that preacher said. And watch this. Here was the church's response to that. We're not going to eat wherever they serve alcohol. Well, that left you with Shoney. I thought, how stupid. Why not go and dine? And that's what Paul's saying. Your God is stronger than any presence in this world. Go show them Jesus where they are. Well, anyway, I'm having dinner, man. Some people got some fine wine on the table. Here comes one of the ladies from the church I grew up in. I mean, she got her girdle cinched up three different ways of tight. You know, she's one of these ladies that wears one of these girdles, and in about 15 steps, you wonder if that girl going to catch on fire or not. You know what I'm talking about? That... Y'all remember that? Hey, that noise still brings fear into my life to this day. Well, here she comes. She looks at me and she said, Brother Steve Ayers, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said, for what, ma'am? What's the matter? She goes, there's people here with alcohol on the table. Now, for the rest of us, that's alcohol. Apparently, in the spiritual language, you call it alcohol. I said, ma'am, what do you mean? She says, they have wine and you're a preacher. I said, yeah. I said, I'm a lot like Jesus. She goes, what do you mean? I said, Jesus ate and drank with sinners. He hung out with us. I said, I want to thank you for coming over here today and encouraging me to continue to witness. You're such a blessing. I said, I would encourage you to read the rest of the Bible and not just the one verse that you've taken out of context. And it might be shocking to you when you find out that your Lord and Savior turned the water into wine.
It's one of the things I can't wait to do when I get to heaven. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Especially with all the religious prudes that'll be there by the grace of God. And only by the grace of God. We all stand together. And what if God opens a big bottle of wine, starts pouring it in the chalice and passing it down the great banquet table? What are the Church of Christ and Baptists just going to get up and leave at that moment? Are they going to hang protest signs that say, God, you cannot drink? What are you going to do? Now, I'm showing you this so you can feel the tension. That's not God's issue. God's issue is that your sins would be forgiven, that grace and mercy would fill your life, so that when you sit at the table, you'll be an illustration of the glory of God and not just a rule. But you will be filled with the ruler of heaven and earth, the fullness of God. Does that make sense? All that lady was incensed. It's learning to be with who you're with. That's what God's talking about. Be balanced. We need some balanced believers. It's like, you know, I have a lot of Jewish friends. I believe we're supposed to support Israel. I have a lot of Jewish friends. Your pastor believes the Bible. I have a lot of Jewish friends. Well, watch this. If we happen to go to the Cracker Barrel together, I do not order the smokehouse breakfast when I'm with my Jewish friends. They don't eat bacon. Guess what? I can skip bacon one time for the glory of God in the morning when I'm with them. You know what they eat? Smoked fish. So I'm with them in the morning. Guess what I have? Smoked fish. Now, I've never awakened in the morning and said, Elizabeth, what about that smoked fish? Let's have some for breakfast. But when I'm with them, what? May they know the glory of God. The glory of God is more important than my personal preference. Does that make sense? I'm from Kentucky. We don't get all worked up about tobacco in Kentucky, do we? Say, no, we don't. See, every place has got a different place of poison. But if I go to Honduras, in Honduras, they believe if a believer was to touch tobacco, they're awful sinners. So if you go minister in Honduras, guess what you got to do? You got to leave your tobacco at home. And if you can't do that, then you got a real tobacco problem. The glory of God ought to be bigger than your personal preference. Yeah, either way. I mean, if you go to Europe, what are you going to do? Preach Jesus or preach anti-wine? Now you get it. If you come to Kentucky, are you going to preach against tobacco or are you going to preach for Jesus? I never forget one of my preaching buddies. He was from Georgia. We're up at the seminary one morning. He's just crushed. It's late November. He's let it rip on Sunday. I mean, the boy has preached his heart out. It's late November, and Adam, you would know this because you're from the central part of the state. He was just right up over from the central part of the state, and he had just delivered on about the fourth Sunday in November his anti-tobacco sermon. And they were ready to fire him. Why? I looked at him, I said, brother, have you noticed how the Wednesday night crowds have been thin for the past 5 weeks or so? He said, yeah, what's up with that? I said, they've been stripping tobacco. You pastor farmers. He goes, I've really blown it, haven't I? I said, yeah, because I can't find that sermon in the Bible. And he said, well, what about you, Tim? Your body is the temple. I said, that's about staying away from prostitutes.
not cigarettes. That's Martha, not Marlboros. I mean, you can't take a scripture out of context just to make it please your way. And he goes, oh my gosh, I messed up really bad. I said, really bad. I said, my dad, how bad you preached. Can you imagine me going to Georgia and preaching an anti-cotton sermon? So you got to know where you are. And it's not about the item. It's about the intention of the heart. So there's a lot of people that can live the rules pretty well, but they got a bad heart. And guess what God's going to look at? Your heart. So here's what Paul said. Wherever I am, I know where I am. And I'm more concerned that people would know Jesus than they would me. I try to live that way. So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews. Smoke fish in the morning. So Coach Riley, if I just went in there, brother, and I said, man, give me a big slab of bacon. What are my Jewish friends going to do? What are they going to be concerned about? Bacon. Let me ask you a question. Don't give any offense to the Greeks. Know what they're about. Listen to what they're saying. Paul knew how to do this. Order the church of God. Now let me ask you a question. Right now, I've preached a sermon, right? We're about to be finished, y'all. Y'all, good news. Doc, if I had a cigar in my hand right now, I can preach with a cigar. Did you realize that? I am capable of that. But right now, if I was smoking a cigar and preaching to you all, what would you all be thinking about? Go, y'all can talk back. This is the time to talk back. Now, I'm not going to put a cigar. I'm not going to light one or anything, so everybody calm down. But if I had a cigar and just smoked a cigar and preached to you all with a cigar, what would go on right now? What would you be thinking about? When you left today, what would you say? You say, I cannot believe that preacher. Well, we've heard we know he's going to hell. He sat there and smoked a cigar while he preached the word of God. He's going to hell. I'm never going back to that church because he had a what? I'm not going to do this, so don't panic. This is for illustration purposes only. I mean, am I really going to go to hell if I preach to you smoking a cigar? No. Thank you all for being that mature. Is that a good idea? Why not? You couldn't hear the gospel. And I guarantee you Twitter or Fruitline or whatever people get on. Snoop Book or whatever that is. Would be lit up with only one message. What? Preaching and smoking. I've been accused of that before. Paul's saying, live in such a way that they might know Jesus Christ. Church, I love y'all so much. Y'all are getting this. Love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the bullseye. That's the sweet spot. That's what changes life. So whoever I am with, may they know who. Jesus. So here's what he's saying. Try not to be offensive. Are you going to offend some people along the way? Yes. Oh, absolutely. When people come up to me and they say, Pastor Ayers, don't you believe all religions are the same? John Paul, what am I going to tell them? Same thing you tell them. No! But John Paul, I'm not going to do the Gomer Pyle on them. And you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Ha, 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 ha. That's not Jesus-like. I'm going to say, I don't believe all religions are the same. And now let me tell you why. Now I give testimony to Christ. That makes sense? Makes sense? So let's live in such a way that God would be known. Thank you all for being here today. Y'all give yourselves a hand. You've listened well. So here's the rhythm. And we're getting ready for the weekend. We're getting ready for it. We're getting ready for the holiday season. Look at this. May this be who we are. May this be who we are. May we live in such a way. Just as I try to please everyone and everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be what? Saved. I'm going to tell you right now, y'all know this. You hang around me more than a few minutes, you're going to know one thing I'm concerned about, Don, isn't it? I want you to know who? Jesus. I want every one of you to be saved. I want every one of you to receive Jesus. I want every one of you to be baptized. And I don't want you to play games with that. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I got some bad habits. I do too. And I have found without Jesus, I'm not getting rid of any of them. Even with Jesus, I still got some. Any of y'all still got some? But you know what I found? I'm getting better. How many of y'all are getting better? I'm better this week than I was last week. Am I perfect? No. When cars pull out in front of me, do I always say, Lord, forgive them? No. But I don't say what I used to say. I don't say it as much. I'm just being honest. I know this fries you religious people. But I just want you to know the pastor that you were under, he says the same thing. He just lies about it. I don't. Because you know what I figured out? God don't bless liars either. And lying's a sin. Now, I'm not recommending you do stupid stuff. I'm just saying we got to be a witness in the world. And we got to quit making little things the big thing. And we got to start making the cross and resurrection everything. Have you heard me clearly? So please, if this is what you got out of the sermon today, the devil twisted it on you. Pastor Steve said, go drink wine. I did not. I said, quit freaking out about it and be a witness to Jesus Christ. Make sense? Some people don't need to drink wine. Why? They've had too much. Some of y'all have already had a lifetime quota. You're done. That old buddy of mine, we was out fishing. A buddy of mine pulled up, and we was out in a fishing boat, and he said, y'all want a beer? I said, nah, I'm probably going to skip that this afternoon. And the one in the back is with me. He said, I've done drank a lifetime quota. And I turned around, and I said, you lied. He said, what do you mean I've lied? I said, I've been with you. You've drank two lifetime quotas, and you're done. You know what I did? I grinned. I said, thank God he's done. Watch this. Would it have been beneficial for me to have a beer in front of a brother who struggles with that? That's what I'm saying. Now watch. Let's just think. Make sense? In other words, you really want to know how to balance your life? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And think about what it's going to do to somebody else more than you think about what you want. And I promise you, you'll make good decisions. What do you think? I've found that in marriage, when I think more about what Elizabeth wants, things go better. John, you've been married a long time. Have you learned that along the way after 50-something years of marriage? I bet you didn't know it the first year, though, did you? That's what I'm talking about. And I know religious people don't like me, and I understand that. I don't get legalism. If following a little bunch of rules makes you holy, then I'll never be holy because I can't follow the little bitty rules because I think they're your rules. And I've always noticed that religious people only follow the rules they can keep. And they don't follow the other rules. Like love one another as Jesus Christ has loved you. That's what it's about. So Paul said, whoever you're with, may they know Jesus more than you. That's Elizabeth. That's been our prayer, especially later in our life. That, Lord, when people would meet us, they would meet what you're about, and they would have an extended hand that they too might be saved. Amen? That's what Hillview Heights Church is about. So this is a great time as your family comes together, Thanksgiving, Christmas, as they come in for the holidays. May they know Jesus. Amen? May they know Jesus. Are they going to do some stupid stuff? Come on, you got your family together. Are y'all going to get your family together? Is there some stupid stuff that goes on? Hey, me and you in the same family. I got some stupid stuff that goes on too. How many of y'all got some family members that are going to say some stupid things? I've been that family member before. I've been the one when Elizabeth looks at me and whispers in my ear, you did not just say that in front of my mother. I said, I did. Looks like she's taking it all right, honey. I love Elizabeth's mom. I've grown to love her. I mean, I realize if you be patient, and she loves me. Now, if y'all don't believe there's a God, my mother-in-law loves me. I took a God. Love one another as Jesus Christ has loved us. I believe it'll work. What do you think? All right, well, let's stand together. We've come now to receive Christ. I got to ask y'all to do something. I don't know if y'all keeping up with current events. The world is kind of headed to hell right now. Have y'all noticed that? Anybody kind of... There's not a lot of people that believe in Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, little brother? I mean, they're whoa! But you know what? God's still willing to save. And I still see good things. It's great to see Colin on the drums. He's grown up here in this church. Great to see a beautiful young couple, man, first daughter. There's still people living life large in Jesus. I don't want you to be left out. Some of you today, this needs to be your decision. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. You said, Pastor Ayers was Steve. Pastor Ayers, you mean you telling me, Steve, that Jesus will forgive me of my sins? That's what I'm telling you. You know what I've done? I don't care what you've done. I know what he's done. He has died for every living human being. He didn't die for some of us. He died for all of us. He didn't die for some sin. He died for all sin. If you want to believe otherwise, you're wrong. Jesus didn't make a special little group of people to be saved. He offered it to the world. I don't know what's confusing about this verse, but it sure has confused a group of people, a small little pocket. For God, that's who's in charge, so loved the world, that's everybody, that he, not us, he gave, sent his son into the world. That's all of us. That whosoever, that means any of us, who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, will not die and will have everlasting what? Life. That's you.
So, well, Pastor Ayers, what if I refuse God the rest of my life? I don't buy into anything that you say. That's your business.
But I'll tell you the truth. Will you go to hell? Absolutely. Not because you're a bad person, but because you're an unforgiven person. Not because you didn't do X, Y, and Z. It's because you didn't repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you want to stand before God and tell him what a good person you are, you know what I say? Good luck. Because I promise you, what you think is good isn't as good as you think it is. I'm going to stand before God and say, by your mercy, Lord, by your forgiveness, by your grace, by your truth, I give thanks. For without you, Jesus, I can't stand here. It is only in your forgiveness that I can live. Some of y'all need to be forgiven. Some of y'all need to come and get that baptism done. We've already had people saved this morning. I know God wants to save people. Some of y'all need to come and say, Lord, I know Thanksgiving's coming and I need to be a family blessing instead of the family interruption. Lord, I want them to see you and not me. Just try. Whoever it is today, may Jesus Christ draw you to his grace. May you understand that he wants to live in you. May you have the fullness of Christ. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful church. And right now, I just want to pray that you save those who need to be saved. Lord, I pray that you grow all of us as we are on this journey. Lord, don't let us step away from you, but let us step into you. Let us step into you. So, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we just pray right now, Lord. Just pray right now. Lord, give us your grace. Give us your peace. Give us your power. Give us your truth. In the name of Jesus, whosoever wants to believe can. Come and pray. Come and pray with your family. Come and celebrate at this altar. We can eat and drink with Jesus. Because he loves us all, in spite of what we've done. Amen? All right. This altar's open. Come. Come. Our pastors are here.